exciting.
Welcome to another episode of PDGA Radio with Grant Zellner and Jennifer Allen. And first things first, by the time you are listening to this, there is a very good chance, if not a certainty, that we will be celebrating a significant milestone, 250,000 historical PDGA members. That's right, we've reached the 250,000 mark. Somebody out there has PDGA number 250,000. And I'm sure a lot of people did their best to time it out just right to see if they could land on that number. So if you're 250,001, let's be honest, that's pretty cool too. I mean, come on. So we're celebrating that milestone. There is a commemorative disc online at the PDGA store, or at least there was a commemorative disc online at the PDGA store. By the time you're listening, not sure if that's still going to be the case. So you might just have to, you know, check the aftermarkets for a chance at that particular disc. So I feel sort of understated in celebrating this way, just sort of announcing it, because we feel like throwing a great big party, to be perfectly honest with you. So thanks to you for your part in helping the PDGA achieve that number with your membership. That's really awesome. And now on to this week's show, which has its own unique element. I get to listen right along with you this week. I was literally on a plane traveling, so Jennifer went and had a conversation with this week's champion at the Las Vegas Challenge, Katrina Allen, and, you know, they talked a little bit about the event, sure, but what's really interesting is they talked a lot about what Kat Allen has been doing to prepare for this season. I think there are going to be some lessons in here for you and for me, just in terms of, you know, how to rightly spend time off and how to do a lot of other things to get prepared to play your best golf, whatever that is for you. So I get to sit back and listen right along with you as Jennifer and Kat have a conversation and we get to be flies on the wall. So let's get into it. Jennifer Allen along with Katrina Allen, no relation, on PDGA Radio.
Welcoming into the PDGA Radio, Katrina Allen, coming off a huge win in Vegas this week.
Hi there.
So made the short drive to Phoenix. You're not playing the Memorial this week, but you have a lot of stuff happening. You want to give everyone, our listeners, a little bit of what's going on this week?
So we actually drove last night, got in late. Went out this morning, and Austin and I played a fun round at Los Olivos, which has a special little place in my heart, because at the end of 2011, I think I spent almost every day there, like training for the 2012 season. So always love being there. And then checked into our Airbnb. We're going to have a nice dinner with friends tonight at Nobu, which has got the Wagyu beef, which is delicious. And then starting tomorrow will be DGA Media. We'll do some in the bag, you know, just kind of some fun promotional stuff with the team. Then the tour series release tomorrow, or sorry, Wednesday at Vista at the Fly Mart for the Memorial. So get to meet some people, sign some discs, and release my tour series sale in the Pearline Swirl. And then I think we have a team dinner, and then we drive to Oklahoma and pick up the travel trailer and get ready for Texas.
So anyone who is going to be around Phoenix this weekend, make sure come out to Spinners on the Green and see Kat and pick up some of those awesome discs. But let's take a step back. We just came off a great off season. Did you enjoy the off season? Take some rest? Have any fun trips?
Yeah, we normally, I set the disc down. Actually, I'll start with just the end of my season. I got to play in a local C tier in Sioux Falls. Well, actually Brandon, South Dakota, at a course that I learned to play disc golf on. And I got to see all the people I began playing disc golf with. And I would say that that weekend, that one day tournament, seeing everybody sparked all those old feelings of like why I began playing disc golf and the feelings. And I almost got that like newbie feeling again. And, you know, seeing those people who made me fall in love with disc golf and were a part of that beginning, that's when it kind of re-sparked me. And then, yes, we did. We went to Michigan and visited our friends, Mike and Melissa, and their crew of friends, and went to some big sporting events. They're huge Michigan fans, so we went to a game there, went to some Lions games. We all went to Paris for Austin's birthday. And let's see. Gosh, it just seemed like a lot of fun. And then we got back to South Dakota and it snowed, I feel like, every 2 days. And not just snowed, it dumped. So I just kind of got back in the gym and kind of got ready. And then we came out to Scottsdale the beginning of January. I hired a trainer for the first time, as in I don't have to make my workouts. I don't have to rack my weights. I don't have to count my reps. They did it all. They were amazing. Source Performance here in North Scottsdale. And then, yeah, I would say the biggest thing this off season was working on my form. Yeah.
What did you change up?
So if you were to go back and watch videos from like 2014, 15, 16, I guess you could even go back to 2012. It's pretty similar. You know, obviously, as time goes on, our form, putting, throwing, sidearm, it all changes a little bit, but you know, for the most part, it's the same. I'm not sure exactly where it happened, but somewhere 2017, 18, 19, it started to really change. And I didn't really feel the effects of it until last season, where I just remember wanting to throw my like go-to Kaiser flip shot and it just not being there. And I just felt like I was losing probably like 50 feet of distance. And Austin and I just kind of said, you know, you should put the disc down, see if you can't, you know, try to break it, start by breaking it that way. Right. So I took I would say 2 months off for sure, 100% 2 months. And then got back out and that form was right there in my, like, it was like it, I never picked up a disc. So then Austin and I just kind of worked on some things together. And it is really funny, but what he had me do was run up downhill, because my issue was that I wasn't like, I was almost like stopping and then using all upper body and not using my hips and core.
And for women, really, that is huge. You know, we're not very big. And for us to try to get that major distance, we have to use our big muscles. And for women, I think that comes greatly from our hips, our core, and everything working together.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I had kind of like I told you, I couldn't throw that hyzer flip shot. And I could almost feel that it was wrong. And sometimes I would even be sore. And that was something I always prided myself with, is that I was thankful the form I was taught in the beginning, I never had like shoulder issues or back issues. And I was starting to like feel some pains and weird spots. And I was like, okay, something is really off. And yeah, we were just out the field and we did two things. He was having me throw like 70 feet with a putter, but like a, you know, a run up, just right. Like, just throw that smooth hyzer. And that kind of got me in the right direction. And then he had me run up, when we started to incorporate mids and fairways, he had me running up downhill. And
that's
so
hard.
Yes. And for some reason, I like actually like everything started to work together. And we found, now it's still not like exactly where I'd like it to be, but it is, I'm pain-free. I've got some distance back. I feel really accurate. It's still sometimes, if anyone has noticed, I feel a little slower on the tee pad. I have to kind of like remind myself what's important, but then forget it at the same time and let my body take over. But I'm excited. Yeah.
Did you go back and watch footage of yourself to kind of see the difference?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely did that. And then also, I mean, nowadays, because there's so much video, there's mm-hmm. people breaking down form. You know, I just kind of looked at the people who I look up to or that I want to throw similar to, or, and just kind of like, what are they doing? What am I doing wrong? You know, kind of get an idea of what all the best throwers do correctly and trying to, and then at the same time, remembering, I think something that we don't talk about enough is like, I'm 5'3", but I have long arms, but I have, you know,
right.
And so everyone's form will look a little different, but just really trying to generate more accurate power in a, you know, in my own way, in a more correct way.
Yeah. And I think the accuracy, speaking for myself, is huge because I have great distance, but I would be okay even losing some of that distance to keep the accuracy. And like you said, mm-hmm. to step away after a round and feel like you haven't even played, that's huge. Yeah. So that will definitely carry on throughout the whole season for you. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's always been my favorite part of the game, was throwing the disc.
Like absolutely.
Shots. And so when that was gone last season, and it was almost like devastating. You know, it's like one thing to go through a slump or have a rough time, but like when you can't even like throw your favorite shot, right? Or shape right. the disc the way you want.
Right.
That was really, really, really hard. But
yeah. Putting a disc on a line and seeing that full flight is definitely the most addictive thing in this sport, I think, for a lot of us.
For sure. Yeah, that's what I fell in love with. Absolutely.
Yeah. And how cool is it that our sport has gotten to the point where you can truly enjoy and take a full off season, step away, yeah. enjoy life. You've worked hard. People, I don't think, understand how dedicated it takes to go a full season on the road. And so now that the sport has grown to where you can have a full off season, step away, and then still have time to come back and train, you know, that's, to me, that's something, being in the sport for so long and now seeing where we've gotten to in, you know, 10 to 20 years is just incredible. And I'm super excited. I'm sure you are too, to see Justin, like even mm-hmm. 5 years, where are we going to be?
Well, yeah. Oh, and you know, that's actually what's kind of been fueling me on top of like, you know, having my form back and seeing my friends from the beginning of the sport and falling back in love with that feeling, is just, if I dedicate myself even more than I have in the past, what kind of success. And, you know, I was a part of the sport pre-COVID where you went out and you toured all season and you kind of broke even,
right.
you know, by the time with gas and, you know, food and lodging and, you know, sponsors did what they could back then. But like I said, at the end of the season, you were kind of had just enough to get through the off season. And then you were ready for the season to start. Right. Like,
right.
And in fact, lots of times I would play events in Arizona or California or, you know, surrounding areas. But, yeah, that's what I'm most excited. And I think if I can really put my head down and dedicate myself these next, you know, few years and see what else. Yeah.
Well, and not that there hasn't been a great amount of women that have, you know, were so talented, but we didn't really have to train. We all just kind of went out there and we did what we knew how to do and had a good time and kind of loved the game. But now, like you said, we have so many athletes and incredible talent that's going deeper and deeper in the FPO field that if you train and truly train, like a professional athlete, you know, just think where we're going to go.
Absolutely.
Because it didn't take that in the past. You know, we could kind of just get by with going out and playing week after week and not a ton of people actually truly trained for the sport like you would in NBA or, you know, any other professional sport.
Yeah, I actually was just talking to someone about that the other day. Oh, my friend, she came out and she's an All-American swimmer and she watched a couple of the rounds this last week. And she's like, wow, I want to try this. Right. But we were talking about how she's like, how'd you get into it? How long did it take you? And I was like, it actually didn't take me very long to get in because I had just came off of 5 years of coaching JO volleyball. So when I would go out to the course, I'd be like, oh, I have an hour and 45 minutes. And I'd literally have like a practice schedule.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to, you know, I have to get up and down 25 times from this distance and I'm going to throw this hole through the gap this way, and I'm going to turn around and throw it back. Because back then there was like, you know, what would you say, 1/100th of the people out there. There's
right.
like two people out on the course, so you could do whatever you wanted.
Just a few women, period.
Exactly. And so, I mean, I even think back to my first tournament at Vegas at Sunset. I think I got last, I'm pretty sure. And I think I got seventh, right?
Exactly.
I don't have to tell anyone, but I've never placed out of the top 10.
Because there's always just been about five in the beginning that would even play. And you had to travel state to state to find the other handful of women to actually play against. So
yeah, actually, sometimes I would offer women in the AM division when I was on tour lessons, or I would pay the difference. Like I would pay like whatever, if it's $15 or $20 more dollars, mm-hmm. I would pay that difference for them to move up with me. I would give discs out if they want, would take that. It was a grind just to get a division so you could get your bonus for winning. Right.
Right. Or even to play in a card of women, because I can't remember how many tournaments that I was playing with the masters or the advanced men or whatever, just because there was no other women to even play with.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So you got to have a fun start to your season. Besides Vegas, you are down in Tucson for the Disc Golf Pro Tour All-Star event. I was very blessed to be on your team. Do you want to tell our listeners about that week and the process of picking a team and the team sport aspect of it? You know, we had to come together and you had to pick people to do certain things. And it, I think, turned out pretty well for you.
Yeah, this is my second season as a captain, if you will. I was lucky to get my exact team. Like, I would not have picked a different team if I could just pick, right?
Right.
And I got everybody in the exact position I wanted. And then what I think was so important was the vibe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we had talked in our group chat, should we do well-rounded teams for doubles or do we want to go by people who vibe better, right?
Right. Like Hina and Evelina, for instance, you know, they train together, live together, everything. So yes, they're both equally talented where splitting them up would be possibly a smart decision. However, they also play so well and push each other that splitting them up, you know, it could be a little detrimental to you.
For sure. So yeah, the thought was maybe put me with Henna or Evelina and then Alexis with Henna and Evelina. So then we would have, you know, sidearms, distance, touch,
right,
putting. And I feel like we would have maximized every right putting, approaching, sidearm, mm-hmm. distance, all those shots, right? But then you lose the most important thing in doubles, and that's feeling comfortable with your partner. In fact, Alexis and I, like I said, she's one of my favorite people to play with. We're always vibing on the course. We barely spoke. It was just like,
yep.
She's like, I want to, without saying it, she's like, I want to throw first. And she'd throw her shot because she knew her, you know, oh, I'm going to get you here. I'm going to get here. I'm going to get us here. And
play
you do
safe.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, she had the sidearm and she would. It was just like, yeah. And then you and Sarah had played doubles at Masters Worlds, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yes.
Won a championship with that. And we did the exact same thing. Sarah threw first, I would say 95% of the time, to play that safe shot where I could go aggressive if I needed to, or if her shot did go B, then I knew I needed to play a little smarter. But it's just, there's something about having that little bit of an experience with someone in your back pocket that really just allows you to go out on the course and just get after it.
Yep. That. And then, you know, I'm not saying that the other women who were there aren't talented. They're obviously talented. They earned their spot to be there. And I really have honestly no issues with any of the FPO women, but I chose the women that I spend time with. I've had good conversation with, built friendships over the years. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did the year before. And it just like that energy is so different, right? Like right. It was, and then, you know, look at how everyone shined in their spots.
Right. Right. Yeah. There's something about teamwork, and we don't get that often, right? Yeah. You know, this is an individual sport. And so this is kind of one time of the year that we do get to go back to being a team player and helping push your teammates along. And it's a totally just, it means a lot. It really does.
It does, because I think the one thing that's different about disc golf that I love, but also has been a challenge for me coming from other sports, is that when I first got into the sport, like that was something that was weird for me, that I'm competing against you and like people are high-fiving you and like hugging you and stuff. And I was like, I come from like
competitive
sports where like the other team is like, get away from me, right? Like, yeah. I hope you, but like, even my friend, like the All-American swimmer, she's like, do you talk to those other ones? Because like when we qualified and we'd all be in the locker room, like we didn't talk to each other. And,
right.
And I was like, well, we do play in and out or play with each other and mostly mm-hmm. the same group of women every right. weekend, right? Like it's rare that you play with someone different. But yeah, it was fun to just like encourage each other and watch us like each shine in our little... Mm-hmm. You know, the putting, the accuracy and you guys in distance. And just like, I also feel like it just elevates you for the start of the season, right? Like, it's just such a good vibe going into the beginning of the season.
And it worked out great too, because Owen absolutely loved her team as well. Yeah, you know, I think both of you got to pick exactly kind of who you wanted, and it just worked out that Team Cat, you know, took home the victory in the end. But Owen absolutely loved every one of her picks too. So that was super cool that, you know, everyone was where they wanted to be and doing what they wanted.
Yeah. It was, I think our teams were so different, but vibing just the same, like you said.
So back-to-back winners at Las Vegas, huge kickoff to the year. Is there anything that stuck out this week? Was it, you know, staying in bounds? Was it hitting putts? The conditions were absolutely ridiculous every single day. We usually have a day or two of bad weather, but this year was every single day was ridiculous. What do you think overall was it, or was it a couple of things that really helped you just maintain a wire to wire championship?
I would say, you know, just to say it again, I love throwing the disc again. That's fun. I'm confident off the tee. I actually, when I came out to Arizona, I couldn't check into my Airbnb right away. I had got in a day earlier than I thought, and I went straight to Los Olivos to putt, and I hadn't putted either since October. And my putt felt like better than it had felt all season for some reason. And I remember even telling like Austin and Ricky, like, I want Worlds to be tomorrow. Like my putt feels amazing. So I just think the balance of that. And then I read this really good book this off season by Dr. Jordan Peterson called The 12 Rules to Life. And each chapter just really dives deep. And I had I keep calling it my like accountability mirror, if you will. Mm-hmm. It brought some things to surface that I realized had been holding me back. And, you know, I think I talked about it in an interview last year that I felt like I was a better player than two world titles. And I really think through reading this book, it brought up some things that I personally struggle with inside, right? Like more on the mental side and that, those were the biggest battles or biggest goals to overcome this year. And so, it was really just whether it was like a really bad shot or a bad break or just someone else getting a good break that mm-hmm. didn't deserve it, just like realizing that there's really a choice on how I'm going to react and how I'm going to let it affect my game, right? Or just, it was just really some that I realized I always felt like I had a strong mental game, but did I really? Mm-hmm. And what was really holding me back and just battling those things. And it's really easy. I mean, you competed super long and understand this. It can be really hard when things are really starting not to go well and you really want to do well to just like not react, not let it.
Yeah, it can destroy
or sabotage you around. Yeah,
absolutely. In a blink of an eye.
Yep.
You know, for those who haven't really.
Like 1 second. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's like you said, once that choice is made and you've changed your mental positivity or whatever you want to accountability for that reaction, it's too late sometimes because the game just happens so fast and you can't take anything back. For those who haven't competed at the highest level, I mean, definitely the mental side of this game is the most difficult part for sure. And that's with a lot of sports, but there's a lot of talented players out there that play even just your local events, but it's a totally different ball game when, you know, you're throwing world titles and championships on the line to be able to just step back and put yourself into that calm position that you're confident and know that you're going to succeed if you just allow yourself to.
Yeah.
And so it's easy for everyone to say, but to get to that level is a totally different challenge. And so for you to be hitting that at the start of the season has to be an incredible feeling to just keep working on throughout the year.
Yeah. And I think that'll be the biggest battle. I mean, as I've noticed, it's been harder as the sport has grown, mm-hmm. like the interviews, the media, podcast, it's quite different than in like 2014 where it was like nothing, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
I think you
play
watching,
and you go home.
Yeah. I remember watching my first world title and they called me the wrong name like four times throughout the thing. You know, like that's how far we came. And just the battling of that, having to be like someone in the media, you know, in mm-hmm. disc golf, and how do I that's something I've struggled with is like, not that I don't want to meet fans, but I feel awkward sometimes being on a pedestal or in the limelight.
Right.
Like I always want to feel equal and just balancing that so I don't lose myself and I don't, you know, I know that's kind of weird, but.
And the social media aspect. I mean, you have put it out there several times throughout your career on stepping back, you know, when. Yeah. It is really important time of year, whether that be the world championships or whatever, you know, social media for our sponsors and for growing who we are is huge now, bigger than ever. But that's a lot to deal with. And, you know, there's so many people out there that for some reason just love to criticize. And like you like you said, like the mental aspect of this game is so crucial to complete a week, you know, a grueling grind of a world championship. So every little thing matters. And all it takes sometimes is checking one bad post, you know? And so that's a hard balance as well. Like you said, meeting the fans and dealing with that and being able to step away from social media. Do you think at a point, or do you already have someone that kind of does your social media for you? Or do you think that that's going to be a point to where something you would want to do, or do you like to be in control of it?
No, I like to be in control of it because I want to make sure it's sincerely me. That's my biggest issue is it can be really easy to create a facade on social media. And, and I'm not saying that there's people, you know, I totally understand people who let other people run it and, you know, put some, you know, updates out there. And
it takes
and
a lot of time on. To run a full social media.
For sure. But something I've found a lot of amazing people, the carnivore diet or just like trainers and things like that through social media and their information they put out. And some of it's been life changing. And so I'm also trying to find my way to give back to disc golf, right? Mm-hmm. Like I haven't really stepped out of my box and done as much as I'd like to, but, you know, I would like to be available in that way. You know, even if it's just like, hey, I'm out button when the sun comes up, right? Like right. Encourage people to get out, get some morning sun and spend 30 extra minutes on your putt a couple times a week, right? Like things like that. And being open and honest about the mental struggles on the course, because again, golf is such a between the ears, right? And not being afraid to be vulnerable and so finding that balance, right? And then taking a step back when I feel like it's becoming, you know, I do know that over the years, it's taken probably 7 or 8 years. I did see an old video of me missing a couple short putts in a row. And I remember just like swiping, because you know, you can like swipe a notification away. Like I saw it right away in the morning and I just swiped it and put it away. And I didn't think about it for the rest of the day. And I remember thinking like years ago, I would have ruined my entire day, entire day. And so I do feel like I'm at a better place. I'm also encouraged by David Goggins, who keeps all of his mean comments, right? Like all the haters. And it just, he's like, it fuels me more than the people who support me. And so I actually saw some pretty rotten comments after this last win. And I was like, oh, I wish you do. How much that's going to just make me work harder. And my butt was out at Los Olivos this morning, just like, oh, you're not going to want to say that again.
That's an awesome, awesome thing. If anyone can take away anything from this podcast, I would recommend that more than anything. You know, you definitely put out, you know, how important it is to stay healthy and eating right and practicing and putting in the work. But that right there is some incredible advice, because even if you're not a touring pro, like there's so many comments out there, or even if they're not on social media and you just hear them at the course. So huge positive thing to take away from this is let those fuel you. Don't let them tear you down. So I absolutely love that.
And one more thing to add to that. Remember, this has taken me, what did I say? 7 or 8 years to do that. And that's the same, you know, and I would say that about my putting. Like, sure, a couple of years ago, you would watch me miss a bunch of short putts in a row. And I was working on it then. And now look at 3 years later, I feel, I feel, you know, and I still feel like that's the another thing too, over the last couple of years that I've really, it's like once you start working on things, I always say you're doing that to see the results in a year, right? Like the instant gratification. I think that can come from social media too. Just to remind yourself that you don't work out twice and are super strong. You don't go do field work for 1 week and then you get to win the next tournament. You have to do that first.
Exactly. You push the ice cream aside and all of a sudden you're skinny. Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Exactly. You know, it's what would be the right word? Consistency, right? And dedication.
So those are some great goals. What about goals for tournaments? Is there any tournament, you know, that you're really looking forward to, or have you set multiple goals kind of throughout the year to work towards an end of the year goal?
I'm always big on, you know, just like we were talking about, daily goals, being consistent, making small sacrifices or doing things throughout the season that will get me to those goals. And like I said, to go back to it again, biggest goal is to just really battle those inner thoughts and those struggles and the, you know, the negativity that can come and all those things that I, outside things I can let affect me. I really want to battle those throughout the season. And that'll just be a daily battle, I think. Might have to reread my book until I know it by heart. Then, you know, I think a good thing was getting a trainer, right? Like someone else to really help me with that, that I trust. So I want to stick with them, trust them throughout the season on what will be best for that so I can perform at my best. One thing I've been doing is like really getting a game plan, right? And then in the mornings, I've been like going through that game plan, checking the weather. Oh, okay, it's going to be windy. What adjustments should I make? You know, be aware of this. You know, fortunately, we got to play these courses twice. So like, okay, where can I adjust? Where was I too aggressive? Where wasn't I aggressive enough? What, you know, what did I take for advantage? Just like reflecting. And then yeah, just staying dedicated through the season. You know, the season is long. There's weekends where it's like, I know you feel this. You're like, I'm grateful that I get to play disc golf
right
for a living, but man, I'd love to be on the lake with my good friends or, you know, having brunch with my best friends or whatever it is, you know, like the summer comes or the fall comes, whatever that is for some of us. But then when that, you know, I find myself not being as dedicated through that time. And so I want to push through the season. And then one thing that I've talked about off and on, I of course never drink during a tournament, but sometimes we like to have a fire on Sunday night and have some drinks. But I've noticed as I've gotten older, that takes me more time to recover.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, you know, even if I don't get out of control, I'm just like, we're like, so, you know, maybe putting that aside more than I usually do. You know, I still like, I went to Texas Roadhouse and had a margarita and, but I was like, okay, that's good.
One and done.
Yeah. Yeah. It tasted good. I enjoyed it, but I'll be able to be successful the rest of this next week. So.
Right. And people look at touring pros and think, oh my gosh, it's so fun. You get to travel the entire US and you're just playing the whole time and it's so fun. But to really be out there, like it's truly exhausting. Are you planning on a few little small breaks throughout the season to kind of reset mentally and physically, or are you just going to kind of grind all the way through?
Yes and no. There'll be some off weeks. Just making sure that I'm taking those off. And, but also, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like if I look back to my most successful seasons, I was playing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've almost
definitely
in like this groove, right? Like,
yeah.
Where it's like, this is just what I do, right? I'm comfortable. Sure, bring on another weekend, right?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I think for me, it can be an off week isn't bad, but like if there's two off weeks, I notice I'm like, I come back and I'm like,
whoa,
don't feel as comfortable, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've definitely had many seasons that you have been way at the top of female with the most events for the year, or maybe, you know, you and Paige battling for player of the year and you won that because you played so many events. So
right.
You've definitely have been an FPO player that has put in the grind and stayed busy throughout the entire season.
I don't know. I guess we definitely will play some of these Silver Series because the way the points have changed. I think definitely there'll be a week off here and there, and maybe there'll be parts where there's 2 weeks off, but no, you'll pretty much see me out there a lot.
Is there any tournaments that are sticking out already on the schedule that you're super excited for?
You know, I can think of quite a few. I'd really love to win a major. I talked about this in my media day at the All-Star event. I've put a lot of outside pressure on myself for years, caring too much what other people think or, you know, really wanting to do well for my sponsor and things like this. But I'd really love to win another major. And this is going to sound weird, but for myself, right?
Absolutely.
You know, like just, to win that inner battle myself. You know, Worlds would be amazing. Or the European Open. I love being in Europe, especially Finland. Mm-hmm. Women's US, that was my first major title. So I would love to have a second one of those.
I almost said that reminds me of Val, because when Val won hers after already knowing that she was, that's exactly what that reminded me of, because that's exactly what she said, is like, I'm winning this one for me, and she did. And that one I've talked to her many times about, like, it just meant something different to her, and you will cherish that one, you know, forever. So that was cool. I almost said something I didn't like.
Growth as a person, right? Like as you get older and you do it more, you know, you see other people win and all the fans and they get money and they get sponsors.
But right.
Like it's like, now it's like,
you have that stuff.
It's like, this one's for me. And like,
that's
exactly.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Really cool.
Well, Kat, thank you so much again, coming literally the day after your win in Vegas. And we all look forward to seeing you out here in Scottsdale this week. So make sure you come out and see Kat. She'll be signing some autographs and selling some new Frisbees. And thank you so much. And congratulations again on the huge start to the season.
Yeah. Thank you, Jen, so much for having me. And really just the chat. It was just like hanging out. And I just want to say a special thank you to Squatch, who was out at the All-Star event and also at the Las Vegas Challenge and took the team out to dinner and just really was out supporting the team. And now I get to look forward to doing that with DGA, my DGA Discraft family out here at the Memorial. And I want to say a special thank you to my fans. I really tried these last few weeks to put those inner feelings away and just connect and hang out with you guys. And so I appreciate everyone who came out and said hi or congratulated me.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, it's not every week that I know I'll be going back and listening to a podcast all the way through for a second time, but I think it's a certainty I'll be doing that this week with this particular episode of PDGA Radio. Thanks to Jen for tracking Kat down during a very busy week. Thanks to Kat, of course, for making the time to join us this week and for pulling the curtain back just a little bit on what she's been doing in the off season to get ready to be a formidable force on the Pro Tour in 2023. The season kicking off, lots of local events beginning to jump on the calendar. We've already hit 3,500 sanctioned events here at the PDGA. That means there is probably an event in your area coming up. So make sure you check PDGA.com on the events tab for an event near you, an A tier, a B tier, a C tier, a league. I don't know. You don't have any excuse not to get out and start throwing some plastic around in your community. So go out and do that right now. And we'll see you next time on PDGA Radio.